Matthew 13 and verse 51 this morning. Jesus saith unto them, Have you understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe, now that word there is not the same as when the scribes and Pharisees are mentioned. That word scribe there is teacher, someone who is qualified to teach, who has learned and understands and is qualified to teach. Have you understood these things? Yea, Lord. All right, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. Now you think about this. Is this you? Have you understood what God says? Is this me? Then here's what we are. An householder. What's an householder? It's someone who is responsible for some things. And more importantly, responsible for some people. As the householder of my house, I'm responsible for my family. And the one who's instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that's an householder which bringeth forth some treasure. He has a treasure. And he doesn't hide it like a miser under the bed and keep it for himself. He brings it forth. Things new and old. He's talking here, of course, to his disciples. First confirming that they understood the things that he had taught them concerning the kingdom of God. Not for his own information. He knew exactly to what extent they understood it. He knew what they didn't understand. And he knew why. He knew why they understood what they did. And I do too, don't you? Because he's the one that opens the understanding that we might understand his scripture. And he knows why we don't understand what we don't understand. Because without him, we can do nothing. I believe them when they said yes, don't you? I believe them. They had an understanding. But he didn't ask for his own information, but to cause them to examine themselves. Do we understand the truth of God? And then he describes those who do understand. They're teachers. If you know, you're a teacher. Well, I'm not qualified to teach. You are if you know, if you understand. If you've been taught. Where'd that come from? It's given to you to know. Now you teach. It's not everyone's gift to teach in front of people. I know what it is to not be able to get up in front of people. That's me. If you'd have told me when I was a young man that one day you'll stand up and speak in front of people, I'd have told you, you're crazy. But everyone that knows is a teacher. You're going to tell what you know. You realize that? Even in earthly things. If you know something, you're going to tell somebody. Sooner or later, somewhere. If you know who God is, you're bound to tell somebody, aren't you? You're bound to. So first of all, let's talk about what it is to be instructed under the kingdom of heaven. And we'll This will be something of a review of all of these parables that our Lord has taught, because that's what he's talking about being instructed in. The kingdom of heaven. And he just got through teaching them. The kingdom of heaven is like this. All these parables that our Lord spoke concerned the kingdom of heaven. He said as he taught them, in verse 9, he said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Have you heard? Do you understand? There are those who were not able to hear. He said in another place, Isaiah prophesied, "Hearing you will not hear, and seeing you will not see. But those who have ears, let him hear." There are those who were able and those who were not. And this he explained in verse 11, where he said, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." It's given to you. Now, do you understand? Yea, Lord. So to be instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is a gift. If that's you, if you have to acknowledge, I know who God is. I don't know like I ought to know. Don't know like I want to know. But I know who God is. I know that God is sovereign and holy and awesome. I know a different God than this religious world speaks of. Do you? And I can tell you, by God's grace, I know how God saves sinners. That's a question most people would have an answer to, but most people can't answer. Not rightly. It is given to you. It's a gift from God. He asked them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said, "Yea." And if you are saying yea this morning, then thank God. Thank God. Because we know how that happens. It ain't because we're smarter than somebody else. It's because he opens the understanding. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, not yours or anybody else's. God reveals it. "I thank thee, O Father, you've hid these things from the smart alecks and revealed them to little babies." Thank God. So being blessed of God to hear the gospel and to understand, they were instructed unto the kingdom. He instructed them. They knew what religious zealots do not know. Do you know this? That God's kingdom is not a contingency. It's not God having made his best effort. The Son of God is like a householder too. In our text it says, if you know what I say, if you understand what I just taught you, you're like a householder. But you know, in verse 27, he compared himself to a householder. He's a householder that sows good seed in his field. It's a purposeful work done by somebody with an inevitable result. Inevitable result. He came to finish a work, not to attempt a work. Not to make anything possible. You'll never see that or find any language like that anywhere but in the pulpits of heretics. It's not in God's word. He came to accomplish a work, and having done so, he said it's perfect. It's complete. It's finished. And he's that householder that plants, and the result is inevitable. And we're like that householder. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're called in our text householders. We're like him in this sense. We're doing what he did. We're sowing the same seed that he sowed. He said, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Even so, even so. I'm a householder, you're a householder. John 20:21. I send you just like my Father sent me. Now, if I plant an earthly crop, I may get results and I may not get results. Some years I get some results and some years I don't. I remember one year in Texas when everybody else's gardens were dying, we couldn't pick enough because my backyard was very low Both of my neighbors had built up their yards, and all the water ran into mine. And so when it didn't rain, I had plenty of water in my backyard. We were picking tomatoes like they were going out of style. But the year after that, I couldn't get a tomato to grow to save my life. But God's not like us in that. Let me remind you what he said about his crop. He's a householder, you see. He said, as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth. He always gets a crop. And it brings forth, and it buds, and it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And he said, my word is just like that. My word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It won't return empty. It won't return not having accomplished what I sent it to accomplish. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. What does that tell us now? If the thing whereto he sent it is to save the whole world, then the whole world's going to be saved. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what is the thing whereto he sent it? We're fixing to find out. In the end of the world, you'll know. Everybody he sent it to save. Until then, we're still looking. And he's still finding. He's still sending his word. And it shall bring forth. It will not return void. It shall accomplish all of his pleasure. And that's what we're doing. He uses us in that work to sow seed. That's Isaiah 55:10 and 11, if you wanted to make a note of that. When God plants a garden, he gets a crop. And he said in exposition of that parable of the householder who sowed good seed, that all of the good seed shall in the end shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's what we're talking. That's the one we're talking about. We're householders, but he's the householder. And the Lord Jesus said concerning his work on this earth, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We could think on that one simple verse for the rest of our lives and never plumb the depths of it. All that the Father giveth me shall come. My sheep, all of them, every one of them hear my voice, and every one of them follow me. And I'll raise them up again at the last day, and nobody will pluck them out of my hand in the meantime. We also know that there are in this world the reprobate. How do we know this? Because we're instructed unto the kingdom. He just said, my kingdom is like unto a householder that plants good seed, but there's also tares. There's also weeds. We don't know who they are. We can't separate them from the wheat. He said, you're not qualified to do that. If you tried to do that, you'd pull up some wheat. And sure enough, we would. We'd have pulled Saul up, wouldn't we? We'd have pulled King David up if we were spectators at the right time or the wrong time in his life, however you want to look at it. We'd pull just about certainly everybody up eventually, wouldn't we? Because we're not merciful like he is. We're just not qualified. We leave that to God. God said, I'll send my angels. And they'll do the reaping. And I'll separate the wicked from the good. But we are to be aware of them. They're sown by Satan. And our Lord said in Matthew 10:16, in the same context of the same teaching, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we watch for the enemy, we avoid the enemy, and we recognize the enemy, but we throw seed everywhere, knowing that not all of it will take root. We know now that the kingdom is Christ sowing his good seed into his good ground, and we know the inevitable result of that. He shines his sun upon the seed and sends his rain down upon the seed, and it shall accomplish the thing whereto he sent it. It'll prosper in that thing. So we preach with confidence in the infallibility of his success. And Paul said, the Lord maketh us to triumph everywhere. Every time the gospel is preached, it's the savor of life to some and death to others, but it's always a victory. He always makes us to triumph when the gospel's preached. And we cast the seed everywhere, life to some, death to others. And we have confidence in his good purpose. But also we know this, that some of the seed will fall among thorns. Some will fall on rocky ground, some by the wayside. And we're warned about this in advance. And so our message is a message of warning, isn't it? Ezekiel 33:6, if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. If you understand all these things, then you are a watchman. You're a householder. And this warning is given in the context of the gospel of Christ's justifying sacrifice in Acts 13:38. Paul said, all those who believe on Christ are justified from all things from which the law could not justify them. And then, having said that, having preached the justifying righteousness and sin-cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his effectual sacrifice, he said, now you beware lest that come upon you which the prophet spoke. When he said that in the last day somebody will stand up and declare these words in your ears and you won't hear them. Beware lest that come upon you. And so our word comes with a warning, doesn't it? We know that there's different kinds of ground. Why does he tell us about that? So that we can tell others about it. What will keep you from Christ, from believing upon him, from casting your soul upon him, the cares of this world? That's what the thorns are, the concerns of this world. You can't serve God and yourself. And this world calls upon you every moment to serve yourself. The concerns of this world. And I'll tell you this, Satan will snatch you away with the promises of fame and fortune in this world. Everything that you dream of. All these, he said, I'll give them to you. He can't give you anything. And if he did, it wouldn't be worth having. Do we understand that? Judas went to the enemies of Christ and said, what will you give me to betray the Son of God? Have you gone to this world and asked that question, what will you give me? He'll promise you everything, but he can't deliver. And if he was able to give you this whole world, if you were to gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what would it profit you? You see what he's teaching us? Some of the seed now are going to fall among thorns. And some of them are going to be snatched away by Satan. Some are going to fall by the wayside. Will you be offended now? Some of them now, he said, for a while they spring up. But then when the sun comes out and there's persecution and tribulation, they're offended. Will you be offended when persecution or tribulation arises, when your faith is tested? Is it God-given faith or is it something you worked up? We'll find out, won't we? If you're offended and go away, then we'll know why. And I'm warning you from the Word of God, nothing's worth leaving Christ over. You're forsaking your own mercy if you reject the message of justification by the blood of Christ. And we know by God's grace, having ears to hear His truth, since it's given to us to know, we know that what we're doing, it seems a small thing to this world. We go forth with a grain of mustard seed that most people can't even ever see, knowing something that most people will never know, that that which seems the least to this world is in reality the greatest. Some were able to walk away from the Lord. He taught them the truth, and they went and walked no more with Him. You think about that. They counted the Lord that day. They decided that the Lord and His gospel were not worthy of their time anymore. And they walked away. But a few, by His grace, were compelled to say, if we were to leave you, where would we be going? And by God's grace, we're like those little birds that nest in a mighty tree. He's our home. He's our safety. He's our comfort. He's our rest. To whom shall we go? And we know that what God has done in sending His Son into this world has transformed the entire world. That every sinner who receives this gospel, who receives Christ, is a new creation by the almighty, all-transforming power of His grace. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who hideth a little leaven in 3 measures of meal, and the whole is leavened. We understand by grace, because it's given by His gift, that a sinner who sees the Lord Jesus Christ, who has eyes to see, the seeing eye, the Lord made it, by means of the preaching of His gospel, faith comes by hearing, that sees Him by that means, by the preaching of the gospel, we know that a sinner, whoever lays eyes upon Him, will count Him as unspeakable, inestimable treasure. And must have Him at all cost. Have you ever seen that happen? I've seen that happen. I've seen a few people in this world willing to sell everything they have and lay hold on Him. In other words, I've seen His grace in sinners, and it's a glorious sight. And what are we doing? We're just putting that pearl on display. The kingdom of heaven's like that. You don't have to beg a merchant man seeking goodly pearls to buy this pearl. All you got to do is put it out there on display, and the Lord will bring him, and he'll see it, and he'll go sell everything he has and say, I got to have him. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And because we know that, we're not begging anybody. We're not shaming the kingdom of God by putting the Lord in a corner like they do and begging sinners to put, would you please do something for Him? If you ever see Him, you'll do something all right. You'll lay hold of Him and say, I can't let go. I can't let go. And all we're doing is just displaying Him, declaring him, and waiting for a seeker to come by. We don't use enticing words of man's wisdom. We're not used car salesmen that talk about, that have to make things up, you know, in order to make the gospel palatable to people. That's what they're doing. They just like use car salesmen. They'll lie about that car to get you to buy it. And religious people will lie on God in order to make him more appealing to you. Oh no, the kingdom of heaven is not like that. It's not like that. We just display the pearl as he is. And we know this. A sinner chooses Christ. Ain't no question about that. He'll say, I want that pearl. Moses chose the reproach of Christ and counted it greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. But I know this too, there's a reason why a sinner chooses Christ. You know what it is? Paul said, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. He chose to save you. And the way he did it was through sanctification of the Spirit, through the Spirit setting you apart from everybody else, giving you life, and making you holy in Christ. And belief of the truth by God-given faith. God from the beginning chose you. You didn't choose him from the beginning. You chose him, but not from the beginning. A sinner loves Christ. The Lord asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, you know that I do. But there's a reason that a sinner loves Christ. We're not born loving him. We don't grow up loving him. We don't naturally love him. You know why we love him? We love him because he first loved us. You see, the kingdom of heaven is like unto that merchant man seeking goodly pearls who sells all that he has to buy that one pearl. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that's cast into the sea, that unfolds itself around you and wraps around you and pulls you in. The Lord told the disciples that morning, after they had fished all night, he said, you launch out into the deep and let down your net. Peter said, we've been doing that all night, Lord. We hadn't caught a single fish, not one fish. And then the Lord said unto them in Luke 5:10, fear not. After they had let down that net at his command, and they couldn't draw it because it had so many fish in it. They couldn't draw it. And he said unto them, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You think about that. You see, the merchant man, he sees the pearl and he must have it. But also our Lord said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And so the kingdom is like a net that falls over you and draws you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're a fish. You don't want to be caught when the net catches you. You're going to flop and try to get away. Is it hard for you? But be drawn, you shall. And once he draws you to himself, well, what happens to a fish when it's drawn in a net? It dies, and so will you. But the death of you is life. You've got to die. You've got to die. Paul said, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died like a fish in a net. But I never knew what life was until I died. Regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. He gives life to whomsoever he will. And he throws out his net. And he brings them by his grace, his irresistible grace. Do you understand all these things? Not picking out one or two things that sound good to you, but all these things. All these teachings concerning the kingdom. Are you instructed unto the kingdom of heaven? Are you a scribe? Can you teach them? Can you give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you? Then the Lord Jesus said, you're like a householder, a ruler of a house. The ruler of a house must rule with wisdom and discretion, and above all, with love. And this is primarily those who are under shepherds in Christ's church, preachers and teachers, those who preach and teach the word publicly. 1 Timothy 3:4. This is in this chapter in 1 Timothy 3. The qualifications for a pastor are given there. And here's one of them. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? It's like a householder. But also in another sense, if you're head of your earthly house and you're instructed unto the kingdom, then you have a responsibility that goes beyond putting food on the table. Your responsibility to your wife and your children is more than just feeding them and putting clothes in their closet and shoes on their feet. It's more than that. You have a responsibility before God. If you're a scribe, if you're one who understands all these things, you're a householder in a whole nother sense. And the ladies are not excluded utterly from this. Do not your children look to you for guidance and for an example? And what will you do? What will you say as their example? And as their guide. Isn't everyone who is instructed unto the kingdom a debtor to some degree, wherever there's opportunity? Paul said in Romans 1:14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. What do you mean? Well, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. There's danger there, Paul. That's called the seat of Satan. That's a terrible place. Yeah, but I'm a debtor. I got to go tell them. I thought about God's law while we're studying Exodus 22. Even if your worst enemy needs help with something, one of his oxen had broke down the fence and is going off, you know you're supposed to stop what you're doing, stop your business, and go help your enemy. You're a debtor. Well, I'm just minding my own business. That's his business. I'll mind my own. No, you're a debtor. Even in natural things, earthly things. And can that be true and we be unconcerned about those who are without Christ and without hope in this world? I'm preaching to myself and to you. Because notice this in our text, we have a treasure. And this is why we're responsible. This is why we're a debtor. Because we have a treasure. Paul had a desire for those to whom he wrote in Colossians 2. He said, my desire for you is that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. I want you to understand by God's grace what I, by God's grace, understand. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. What is it you understand, Paul, that you want us to understand? The mystery of God, the gospel. And of the Father and of Christ. Christ. I want you to understand the mystery of Christ in whom are hid all the treasures. I have some treasure I want you to know about. And by God's grace, I want to bring it out. In Christ are hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you have a treasure? Are you a householder? 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul said, we have this treasure. And the kingdom of God is like that, you see. It's like a treasure hid in a field. It's like a pearl of great price. Do you understand these things? Then you're a householder. You're responsible. You're a debtor. You're a teacher. And you have a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that's all right. Because, you see, God did it that way on purpose, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It doesn't matter that we're unworthy of the treasure. You're not trusting in us, you're trusting in the treasure. You're not buying us, you're buying the treasure. And the glory's not of us. The treasure is the glory. And we bring forth things that are both old and new. Not some things that are old and some things that are new. The things of God are all both old and new. The truth of God is as old as time, older than that. Paul said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What we're speaking, Paul said, God has ordained it before the world was. The gospel's old, but I'll tell you this, if you ever hear it, it'll be new. His gospel is called the New Covenant, though it's older than the old. Though it's older than time itself, his mercies, David said, are new every morning. Is the gospel like that to you? When you hear the old truth, do you say that's new every day? Our Savior himself is the Ancient of Days, and yet he has the dew of youth on his. And every time I hear this old truth, I learn something new. How about you? May God make us faithful householders to bring out the treasure for his glory. We have this treasure like we do in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. May it be so. Let's bow in prayer.